This moment changes everything.
What's up, Wake? Oh, guys, we can do better than that. I said, what's up, Wake? That's what I'm talking about. Hey, guys, if we haven't met yet, my name's Parker Robb, and I am the men's coordinator here at Wake, which means I get to hang out with all the boys and the boys' small group leaders. Yeah, that's right. But, guys, we are continuing our series, The Gospel Changes Everything. All right, and over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about the story of the gospel that we see all throughout Scripture, and I would beg to say that it has a major impact on our lives today. So last week, we looked at creation changes everything, and God, Ryan talked about how God created the world, and that our view of God has a huge impact on the way that we live our lives and the way that we view others, that we were created in God's image to love and glorify him, okay? And today, before I get started, I just want to tell you a quick story. And it has something to do with this. This isn't actually the rock, but it has something to do with a rock, okay? So I grew up, a little bit about me. I grew up in Dallas. I grew up in Coppell, which is like 20 minutes west of here. And I grew up playing soccer, okay? And yeah, that's right. I grew up playing soccer. That's my sport. My dad, you know, the common, like, your dad's your coach. My dad was my coach for like 8 years. And so when I was 8 years old, we were just wrapping up soccer practice. My dad's, you know, picking up the cones, picking up the goals. So I walk out to the parking lot with a friend of mine, and I'm just waiting for him to be done. And I just get bored. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, when is this ever going to be done? And out of the corner of my eye, I see this little rock. It's not quite this size. This is just an example. I see this little rock, and I go to pick up the rock. And I think every kid, I don't know what it is in us, that just wants to throw a rock. And so, yeah, I was holding the rock, and I was like, I'm going to throw it. And I was like, but, like, who wants to throw a rock into just thin air, right? And so the nearest thing I could throw this rock at was this red Suburban that was backing out of its spot. And so the Suburban was backing out of the spot. I grab this rock and I throw it at the car. No lie. I threw it at the car. And immediately when it left my hand, I was like, oh no. I made a huge mistake. And it was like floating in the air. I was like, it almost was like my life was in slow-mo. I was like, oh no. And it hits the back windshield and cracks the windshield. And that's when you know, when you like, you know that like you did something wrong and you look to your right, you're like hoping no one saw, especially your dad. And I looked and my dad's just holding the soccer stuff looking at me. And I was just filled with regret and shame. And so my dad had me go over, apologize to the person's car that I just hit with a rock. And then this is the worst part. He grabs a rock off the ground, and he goes over to me, and he goes, son, I want you to hold this rock, and I want you to put this rock in your pocket and keep it in your pocket for 2 weeks. No matter if I was wearing dress pants or shorts, no matter what, I had to keep this rock in my shorts for 2 weeks. And that was the consequence of what I did. And you're probably sitting there thinking, what does this have anything to do with what I'm going to talk about? And I want to argue it has everything to do with what I'm going to talk about today. Because we're going to talk about how the fall of man or humanity changes everything. And guys, this is going to be a little bit of a heavier message. But I think everyone in this room, myself included, your adult leaders, and yourselves, have something to learn today. And I don't think it takes very long for us to look into our world and see brokenness. We look into our own families and we see divorce, broken relationships with our siblings. We experience death. We experience pain that either we have caused other people or that we've been caused by people. And guys, today's important because I think the Bible makes it very, very clear why the world is broken. It's broken because of us, because of humanity. We are broken and we have turned from God. So if you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles. If you have your journals, open up your journals. Take some notes. We're going to be going through Genesis 3 today. Okay, we're going to be talking about how the fall of man changes everything. All right? And so we're going to continue talking about, we talked about two characters last week, right? Adam and Eve. Okay, and we're going to continue to talk about Adam and Eve. But here's an interesting thing about Adam and Eve. If you look at the Old Testament, which is the first half of the Bible, it's written in a language called Hebrew, okay? And Hebrew, if you guys didn't know this, I honestly didn't even know this for a while, that they don't actually use proper names, okay? They just use meanings of names. And so what Adam's name actually means human, and Eve's name actually means life. And I think that's a huge way that this makes a lot of sense. That today we're going to look at how humanity in life got into their present state today. And so, as we walk through Genesis, I want to explain through three things that we face when it comes to sin. Okay, so write these down. We face temptation, we face a decision, and we face consequences. Okay, so the first one, we face temptation. So if you're reading along with us, it's going to be Genesis 3, 1 through 5. We're going to look at that real quick and then just talk about it. So verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so let's talk about what we see in these first five verses, all right? We see that there's a serpent, okay? And then there's trees in this garden that Adam and Eve can eat from freely. That's what God had given them. And then God also placed a tree in the midst of the garden that he commanded them not to eat from, all right? And we look at that first verse talking about the serpent. And let me just quickly explain what Moses, when he wrote Genesis, what he's explaining about who the serpent is. The serpent is known as the enemy or Satan. He's described in this text as being crafty, right? That first verse, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast, right? And other places in Scripture, the enemy is also described as a lion seeking to devour, a deceiver, and a thief. Satan is God's adversary, okay? And he opposes God, and he hates him. He's against God. But what is the first thing that the serpent does? He doesn't try to just like whip something out. He questions God. He says, did God really say? He took the command that God had given Adam and Eve and he questioned it. And he tried to convince Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Surely not. And look how Eve responds. This is crazy. Eve says, God said not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because you will die. She knew what God had said because she was in relationship with God. She was listening to God. She knew his commands. She knew that it was good. But here comes the serpent. Here comes what the enemy or Satan says. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And he doesn't try to say something else really is better than what God had said. He truly just says, hey, did God really say that? And he tries to get Eve to doubt God's promises and doubt what God had for him. And then he adds the temptation. Here's the good thing that he tried to sell him. You will be like God. And I think Satan does the exact same thing throughout all of Scripture. If we look in the New Testament, when Jesus went out to the wilderness to be tempted, he says to Jesus, Satan says to Jesus, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. if you'll bow down to me. If you'll bow down to me, I'll give you everything you want. And Jesus knew that if he bowed down to him, that's not right. And that the only person that Jesus bows down to is to God. And he knew that Satan was a liar. He was a deceiver. That Satan can't give good things. Only God can give good things. And Satan wants us to believe that there is life outside of God. And we can find everything we need without God. And sometimes those lies are really easy to spot when you're like, oh, like that wouldn't make sense. Why would I ever want to do that? But I think the hardest time is when that little tiny lie or that little deception is kind of close to the truth, or it's just tempting enough. Like, I don't believe I look good in the mirror, so I need to wear things to get people to like me. Or I go online and look at things I shouldn't look at, but only for a couple seconds, and it's not that bad, and I'll be okay. That's when the lies get a hold of us. And that's when we believe that from our own thoughts in the temptation, that's more significant than what God has for us. And I think it would be entirely wrong to completely put all the blame on the serpent and on Satan. That's just a literary, just so you guys know, that just we're using a literary form of explaining who Satan was. I think it would be wrong to completely put all the blame, because in verse 6, it says that Eve saw the fruit and saw that it was good. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes. And so back to my story, all right? So I see that rock in the parking lot and I wanted to, you know, play around with the rock. I was just messing around with the rock and then I decided that I wanted to chunk it, right? But what's the fun of just throwing it into thin air? Like you want to hit something and something in me wanted to hit something. And I think I, in that moment, believed a lot of what the serpent was trying to tell Eve. Of did God really say? I kind of neglected and justified of like, oh, it'll be okay. Like, if I hit this car, it'll be okay. Like, maybe a little scratch, it'll be fine. But let's see how Eve responds to when she sees the fruit. She says, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So this leads to our second point. We face a decision. So it's not only that Eve faced the temptation from the serpent, but there was a part of her inside that desired it. She saw that the fruit was good. She decided that she wanted to try it and disobey God's command. And just like how I decided to throw the rock at that car, she didn't trust that God's plan and instruction was best for her. She thought she knew better than God. And this is a prime example of pride, that we would know better than God, that we'll be okay, that we don't need to trust in God's promises. Not only that, Eve gave some to Adam. She brought him into her decision, and Adam willingly took the fruit as well, and together they disobeyed God. They listened to the serpent, they liked what they saw, and they did what they wanted to do. And God gave them everything in the garden. They had everything they could ever want, and God only said, don't eat of that tree. And just to kind of make this more simpler, imagine if you guys went to the mall, all right, and you went into the candy store, and your parents said, okay, none of this candy costs anything. You can have whatever you want. The store people were totally fine with it. You can have all the candy you want except the banana Laffy Taffy. Don't eat the banana Laffy Taffy, okay? Shh. Hey, bring it back. Bring it back. Don't eat the banana Laffy Taffy. And so you're walking around the store, you know, maybe you get like a Nerd's Rope or something. You're eating some of the candy. You're really enjoying yourself. But you really have your eye, just kind of a little bit in the corner of your eye, that banana Laffy Taffy. And so you go over there while your parents aren't looking. You eat all of the banana Laffy Taffy, and you get really, really sick. And I think this is exactly what Adam and Eve did. Except, I think what actually happened as a result of that wasn't sick. It was much worse. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. They did the one thing that God had told them not to do, even though they had access to everything. And guys, look at me. We do the same thing. We could have everything we could ever want that God has given us in life, that life is in Him. But we turn to things that God tells us not to turn to. We turn to gossip. We turn to materialism, identity in sports, and relationships. We all do it because we don't think that God knows what's best. And back to the lies that I talked about. When we start to believe, it's not that bad if I don't look at it for too long, or it won't hurt anyone, or here's one that's really powerful. Other people are doing it too. What will they say about me if I don't wear this? It's the moment that we let lies creep into our hearts and we turn to what Adam and Eve do. And what does this lead to? It led to sin entering the world. And let's define sin. If you've grown up here at Watermark and you've gone through the kids' ministry, simple definition for sin is anything that we think, say, or do does not please or honor God. You guys just took the words out of my mouth. And so the time that you decide that you're going to push your friend over because you're upset, or maybe you gossiped about somebody behind their back, or this is the nasty one. Maybe you think that you don't want to hang out with that one person because you think they're weird, but you would never say that to them, but you think that. Guys, that is all sin, because you're choosing not to obey God and viewing others the way that He views them. We all do it. What happened to Adam and Eve? Their eyes were opened and they were filled with shame. They knew they did something wrong and they directly disobeyed the one thing that God told them not to do. So what did they do in response? Later in the text it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from God. They were filled with shame. And instead of going to God and telling them, they hid from Him. And back to my story with the rock. When I hit that car, I knew I made a mistake. And I was filled with shame. And I sat there, and I looked around to see if anyone saw. But mainly, I was fearful of what my dad would say if he saw me. And I had nowhere to hide. I was in an open parking lot, but everything in me wanted to hide. Everything in me wanted to run because I knew I did something wrong, and I was filled with shame. But my dad saw it all. He was right there. I think Adam and Eve did the same thing. They tried to hide from God. And we all have a tendency to want to hide when we know we've done something wrong. And the one person that Adam and Eve were in relationship with and loved, they disobeyed Him. They tried to hide. And God wasn't surprised, guys. God knew Adam and Eve were going to turn from Him. He knows their hearts and their desires to run from Him. And how did God respond? I think we might think, oh, they sinned. God will just wipe them out, start new. Humanity, two new people. Or God will just completely neglect them and never look at them ever again. But God doesn't respond that way. He moves towards Adam and Eve. Despite them sinning against Him. And He asked them questions of why. Because He cared about them. And He loved them. And He even provided for them in their shame. And you might be thinking, if God is perfect, we have an issue because God is perfect and now man is sinful. They turn from God. So what are the effects? They can't be in relationship together. And this leads to our third point. We face the consequences of sin. We face the consequences of sin. And listen to the consequences that both Adam and Eve faced. To Eve, Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire to be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And then together, because they both sinned against God, they had a consequence together. Genesis 3:23. Therefore the Lord God sent them out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Because of their decision, Adam and Eve faced severe consequences. Remember the consequences that I faced. That I had to go and apologize to make things right with this person. And I had to carry a rock in my pocket for 2 weeks. And the rock was a constant reminder of the bad decision that I made. And it wasn't to make me feel shameful, but I felt shame because I made that decision. And let me be very, very clear. God did not want to punish Adam and Eve. God is perfect, holy, and righteous, and loving. He is without sin and cannot be with sin. And so they once physically walked with God and was with God, and they had everything that they could want in the garden. But because of their decision, they were banned from the garden. They couldn't go back. They had pain in having children and pain in work. And I think the worst consequence for Adam and Eve is that they weren't in the presence of God like they used to be. They were separated from him. And it might be easy for us to sit here in Dallas, Texas, at Watermark Community Church in 2022, and to look back at Adam and Eve and say, well, that's easy. I just wouldn't have eaten the fruit. It's just a piece of fruit. It's just a decision that they made. They sinned against God. I just wouldn't have ever looked at that. I wouldn't have ever done that. But how many of us decide to gossip about other people? How many of us look at something online that we know we shouldn't? How many of us treat our siblings horribly? How many of us disobey our parents? I could keep going on and on and on because we have done the same thing. We have turned from God and we haven't trusted his promises. And we probably have even disobeyed God this morning. I know that I have. But what does this have anything to do with us now? How do we take this and apply this to our lives? And that's a great question. Like I said, we are just like Adam and Eve on a daily basis. And let me show you why I believe that. Let's take my story, okay? So I saw that the rock was on the ground and I wanted to throw it. That was the temptation that I felt, that I wanted to throw it at the car. My decision was that I threw the rock at the car. And then the consequences was I had to apologize and carry the rock for 2 weeks. We do it all the time. And I know that's a silly example, but that's sin. And whether you're aware of it or not, sin highly affects us. Every sin has a consequence. When we decide to do things that we know we shouldn't because we want to fit in with our friends, the consequence is we breed insecurity. When we say hurtful things to people that we love, it's a broken relationship. We have consequences for everything that we do when we sin. And unfortunately, because of Adam and Eve's sin, all of humanity has inherited, which means we have taken on brokenness and evil and shame and sin because we have turned from God and don't want God. And when I mean all of humanity, I mean all. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people have fallen short of God's glory. No matter if this is your first time ever coming to church, which I'm so glad you're here, welcome. Or you've gone to church every single Sunday and every Wednesday since you've been born. We all fall short of God's glory. And I'm going to go ahead and burst the bubble in your mind that if you think you can be a good person and don't do anything wrong, that you'll be okay, that's not true. We all fall short of God's glory. And going to church every single Sunday, coming to Wake just to be here, isn't going to keep you right before God. And being a nice kid at school isn't going to either. We all fall short of God's glory. And that we are never going to be able to outweigh our good with our bad. Because in order to be right before God's eyes, to be right with him, we'd need to be perfect. And I don't know about you guys, I have never met a perfect person. Not once. Not once. And there's consequences for our sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve faced a spiritual death and separation from God. They were physically separated from God, but they were spiritually separated from God. And we too, when we sin, we face a spiritual death and we are separated from God. We are all dead in our sins. And there's nothing that we could do to repair our relationship with God. And us sitting in 2022, if we look back, so many people have come before us. And if there was a way, they probably would have figured it out, right? And there's no way. So what do we do? If there's nothing that we can do to make things right before God, what do we do? Is there any hope in our lives? And in the same chapter of Genesis 3, there's hope. Genesis 3:15, God is talking to the serpent, to Satan, the enemy. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. So enmity means hostility between the woman's offspring and her line, her children and her children's children and her children. Keep going and going. And Satan's offspring, the evil forces of this world. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And Eve is not only known, her name means life. She's also the mother of all living, that the line comes out of her, that she was the start of it all. And out of her family line would come the Messiah, which the Messiah we all know as Jesus. He is the he in this verse that says, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Satan bruises Jesus' heel. What that means is when Jesus died on the cross, when he went before us and paid for our sins that we deserve, the death that we deserve, that Satan bruises Jesus' heel because Jesus died. And that the Son of God was killed for our sins. But Jesus conquers sin and death by rising from the dead after 3 days, which means that he's going to stomp on death and on Satan once and for all, because he conquered sin and death. And guys, this is the first prediction. Genesis 3, the first prediction of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and being our hope. And many scholars, when they look at the story of the Bible, they believe that this was written 4,000 years before Jesus was born. 4,000 years this was predicted, that Jesus would come and die for our sins and for our sin and our shame, because he loves us. And all throughout the Old Testament leading up to Jesus' birth, we see that this becomes more and more true. It's prophesied and it comes to fruition. It comes to truth. In Romans 6:23, the second half of it is the good news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our answer. He's the one who will crush Satan and defeat death. He's the one that makes us right before God, because he lived a perfect life. He never sinned once. He was the perfect person, and he died for you, and he died for me. So, to close out my story, all right, I carried this rock, not quite, but it's a picture of the rock, for 2 weeks, and I felt the shame of what I did. And you're probably thinking, like, what happened to the window? You cracked a window. And here's the good news. I didn't pay for the window. I didn't. that wasn't the thing that I had to pay for. My dad took care of the window. He paid the price for what I deserve. That was my mistake. I should have paid that window. Obviously, I didn't have the money, but he could have easily made me work for the next 5 years doing something to pay for the window. But he paid the price that I deserved so that I didn't have to walk around with this rock and be reminded of the sin and the shame that I had been carrying. I think Jesus did the same thing for us. He did the same thing for you. That we deserve the payment for our sin, which is death. We deserve that. We're going to talk more about that next week and how Jesus paid for our sins and our shame. But right now, I want you guys to just sit and reflect. As we looked at the fall of man and humanity, what does this mean for me? Have I really thought about my sin and how that's affected me? And then what is the rock in your life? What is the area in your life, the sin that you keep running to that is filling you with shame that you need to confess and to give up? And are you believing that God is really good in all the decisions that you make, trusting him? And so, as you guys leave, I want you guys to think about those questions. Think about this story. Go back and read Genesis 3, the way that it impacts your life. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you are good. Lord, that we are broken and sinful, and we turn from you. I know I turn from you. And God, I thank you for this story, and that we see the good news that it's found in you, that we couldn't be right before you, but God, through your son Jesus, you have made things right. So I pray for the students in this room that don't know you, that are stuck in their sin, that they would come to know you more. Trust that you know what's best, that you love them. And God, I pray for them as they go out in their week today, that they come to know you. Reflect on ways that they can walk in freedom of their sin. Be reminded of what you've done on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.